All right, let's get started this morning. And just one passage of scripture. Let's look at Proverbs 27 and verse 23 this morning. And then if you'll get that for us. Proverbs 27 and verse 23. And we'll just start right there. Go ahead and read that, Ael.
Know the state of your flock and put your heart into caring for your herds.
Okay, so a very familiar portion of scripture. I know that numbers of times I have referenced this over the years. Pastor Greg has referenced this, but let's just unpack this and think about it. If you were to sum up that proverb, and I hope you've opened that up, Proverbs 27:23, looking at that, if you were to sum that up into one word, what would it be?
Awareness,
yeah, and that's what you're going to say also. Yeah, so awareness, that is what this is all about, being aware. So what about awareness? We got to think now, based on that, who is it talking to?
Shepherd.
Okay, you're saying that it's talking to the church. It would apply, yeah? You said something, Tony? It's talking to the shepherd specifically, right? So the shepherd needs to know the state of his flocks. A shepherd needs to attend to his herds. So it's literally to a shepherd, which is what? For us. It's the pastor. Exactly. So this is just a way to unpack some verses. But awareness, yes, is for the pastor. But as a man of God, as a disciple, and as one day you will be a pastor, a shepherd over people, which is what the word pastor simply means. When you say, hey, pastor, Pastor Greg, Pastor Hart, Pastor Diego, Pastor Stephen, you know, Pastor Matt, what you're saying is shepherd. It's not a title, it's a function. It's what we operate in. So awareness is something you should begin to develop. So now, if we were to take all of these ideas that we've unpacked, what should you be aware of? Okay, so being aware of other people's lives, what's going on in their lives. So yeah, it's just people in general. Okay, so who is the flock? Let's ask that now. Who is the flock?
The congregation.
The congregation, the church, absolutely. So with that now, within a congregation, people are what you should be aware of. So let's break that down now into categories. In a church, who should you be aware of?
New converts.
Okay, so new converts, who else?
All the saints.
All the saints, yeah, absolutely. Who else?
Those that are missing.
Yeah, and that would connect with the saints, yeah?
Visitors,
right, be another one. So absolutely, you got to break that down and have that awareness. So visitors, let's start there. These would be people coming for the first time, our guests, right? Can you identify a guest? Do you notice when a guest comes to church? How do you know they are a guest? Right now, how do we know? Usually the blue bag, right? Which is a gift from us to them, so that we can identify them. Right? Just because we have a large church, we have a large building, right? When you're pioneering, right now, Anthony, couple weeks ago, had 19 in service. I think, I'm just, you know, have confidence he would notice when a visitor walked in, right? But in a larger setting, right, you're in your section, you're familiar with the people around you. So that is just a way so that we can help ourselves out. So the question though, is it enough to just notice a visitor? No, it's not enough just to notice. You should introduce yourself. You should welcome them, right? People skills 101, start a conversation. Welcome them. Do you have anywhere to sit? Would you like me to help you find a seat? Right? All of those different things. So visitors would be the first. Now, that's here in church, but the same thing at 180, right? We're going to be having a number of special events coming up. I'm talking about this so that we can be attentive and aware for when visitors come. It's very frustrating to see visitors and disciples chatting, chopping it up with their friends, chopping it up with their relationships, chopping it up in their circle. Meanwhile, visitors are at the door looking, right? Looking, figuring out what is this place. Okay, that's something to be aware of and develop your awareness and do something about it, right? Introduce yourself, welcome them. Let's go to the second category. Who should we be aware of is new converts, right? Absolutely. So you guys mentioned that. So what about new converts? What should you be looking for? And I'm asking now. Yeah, Micah. Okay, yeah. New converts, but are they new converts? Are they being converted? Is there some signs of spiritual life? And he said that sometimes we should look for life also, but, you know, it just depends on the background, right? What else should we be looking for in new converts? Yeah.
They're struggling.
Okay, if they're struggling, yeah. And how would they struggle?
Sometimes it would be that, like, just the husband comes or just the wife comes or you can see it on their face or you're talking to them. And
good.
Things come up.
Okay, good, yeah. So things that might be going on in their lives, if they're a couple, sometimes it's, he said, just the husband or just the wife. What else should we be looking for?
They're raising their hand in the altar call.
Yeah, okay. If they're raising their hand. Going to the altar, responding to the services. Yeah, good. I would tie with the signs of spiritual life. What else? Yeah, Pastor Matt.
General attendance.
Yeah, general attendance. They were coming and now they're not. They were faithful and now they're not. What changed? What happened? What's different? Right? There's connection, there was building. What shifted? Right? Good. So noticing if they're coming, if they're missing. Who are some new converts we're working with right now? Yeah.
Jamal.
Okay. And when was the last time Jamal made it to service?
It's around, I believe, 4 services ago.
Okay. Yep. And so, yep. Pablo, yeah. And when was the last time Pablo was in? Last Sunday, last week. Okay, yeah. And so, yeah, Pastor Matt?
Alfredo and Janet Guerrero.
Okay, yeah, they've been coming more.
Yeah.
They were there?
Last Sunday.
Last Sunday. Okay, I didn't know if they came Wednesday or not. Yeah. Okay.
Flavio and Liz?
Yep. And when was the last time they were in service?
Wednesday night.
And before that?
Sunday night.
Okay, good.
John in Florida.
Yeah, okay.
3 weeks ago.
Good.
His services go. He's in Florida. He'll be back next week.
Okay, so he's out of town, right? So it's just good to note, right? Good to know where they are, when they were last in service, and maybe why, right? Yeah, out of town. You know, maybe some struggles, like David pointed out, right? Who else are we working with? Yeah.
Diego and Emily.
Okay. When was the last time they were in service?
2 weeks ago.
Okay. And do we know why 2 weeks ago?
In the process of moving.
Okay. Good. Good. In the process of moving. Now, what you need to be listening for is, number one, do I know these names? Do I know these people? As we're popping, do we know Pablo? Do you personally know him? Right? Do you know Jamal? Do you know Alfredo and Janet? Do you know Flavio and Liz? Do you know Diego and Emily? Do you know John? Right? All these different folks that are coming. Who else are we working with? Yeah.
Emma.
Emma, okay. When was the last time Emma was in service?
Sunday.
Okay. Good, good.
Derek.
Okay, Derek. Okay, I've not met Derek, so.
Garrick.
Oh, Garrick, sorry, yeah. And when was the last time Garrick was in service?
At least, it's been a little bit, several weeks.
And do we know why? Okay. All right. So now, when converts are struggling, you're aware of it. So what now? What should you be doing as a shepherd?
Reaching out to them.
Okay. Reaching out to them and doing what?
Either calling them, texting them, just trying to ask them, hey, how are you doing? Okay. Is there anything I could do for you? Or
okay. Yeah. So concern. Good. Concern. It's a good. Showing concern. Are you all right? Is there anything I can help pray for? You know, I'm praying for you guys. I trust all is well. Whether that's a text or a phone call. Hey, do you want to meet up for some coffee? Do you want to meet up for some dinner? What you're doing is you're rebuilding and reinforcing that connection. What you should not do is, where are you? You're not in church. Don't you remember we have 3 services a week? Right? All those different. Are you serious or not? Right? Those are real statements. But it's one of those things that you want to rebuild the connection and reinforce that connection. Good. So new converts. Now, another category we've talked about. Ben mentioned all the saints. So, but there's a couple of categories in that. There's those who are, Pastor Greg has coined it, fringers, or those who are on the fringe. What do you think that means? Fringers. Yeah, David?
People that come, but they're not in ministry, or they may or may not attend regularly.
Okay, good. Yeah, they're not in ministry, or they may not, more specifically, may or may not attend regularly. But they have a pattern, right? They might not be here all the time, but mostly they have a pattern. Just Sunday morning, just Sunday night. Right, every now and again, once a month, twice a month, Wednesday night. So you be aware of the fringe people or those on the perimeter, or on the outskirts, and just being conscious of that, building connection with them. Right, it's important when you have fringers, and you'll have them in every church, to love them where they are at. Get to know them where they are. In other words, their level of commitment, their level of revelation. We have people in our church, they are Sunday morning only. And that's fine. And some of those Sunday morning, they're going to make it to heaven. They're at their level. Now, of course, you can't make disciples out of with a church only of fringers. You can't plant churches with a church only of fringers, but you're going to have that. It's part of the people group. So being aware, knowing that. Then you have your established, right? And in your established people, committed people, they're involved, they're dependable to be there, they're functioning and operating to a maximum capacity. But what you should be looking for in your established, again, is who is missing, right? Who is not there and why, right? That's very important. Who are some of our established that we have been praying for recently? Yep.
Dwayne Simpson.
Dwayne Simpson. And do you know why we're praying for him?
Yes, he's been in the hospital. He had to get his leg amputated.
Yes, okay. So he's got it sick, had to have an amputation. He's in rehabilitation right now. We're praying for him. But what you need to ask yourself is, do I know Dwayne Simpson? Right? Have you been here any length of time? Have I met Dwayne Simpson? And again, we're a big church. You might not know everyone perfectly, but are you aware? Have you noted? Yep. You had your hand like that. Mike Sawyer, yeah, and why has Mike Sawyer been?
His heart attack.
Yeah, he had a severe heart attack. The man is a miracle to be alive, and he's recovering. Do you know Mike Sawyer? Right, are you familiar with him, and why we're praying for him? Who else? Yep.
Gary Basham.
Gary Basham. Yeah, Gary Basham's been very ill. He's still faithful as often as possible. He's here, even in morning prayer. But do you know him? We're praying for him. Have you reached out to any of these folks? Right? I want to just point out, if you ever want to know, we have Pastor Hart. He's our pastoral care. He's overseeing our established saints. He's very in tune with these folks. When you're hearing, you want to help, you want to bless, you want to reach out, connect with Pastor Hart. He can help you make connection with those folks. Make connection with those people. They'd love to know you're praying for them. You care about them. That you are contending for their recovery, their healing. Maybe you can visit them at the rehab center if they're in the hospital. That's important. And that is the job of a shepherd. Know the state of your flock. Who's healthy, who's sick? Who's present, who's missing? All of those things. It's developing the awareness. Good. So, on a side note here, you also want to just be aware of who is connecting with each other. That's important. Who's connecting with each other? And you don't want to make this the hyper focus, but it's important to be aware. Maybe you have someone, new converts that are coming, but who's connecting with them? People that are going to help them? People that are going to develop them? People that are going to make a good investment? Or sometimes you have this tension and this tug of war of, why are all my carnal, not super spiritually, you know, focused, why are they connecting with them? Why aren't disciples? Why aren't committed couples? Who are they connecting with, and why? It's odd that they're connecting with that person. It's just not okay for whatever reason. That could be spirit, that could be rebellion, that could be morality, you know, different ways in which that plays out. But you got to know who's connecting and why. Okay, so it's important to keep a balance now in all of this. What you want to do is, when you are aware of the flock, it really, you know, it can pull you one way or another. What you want to do is, number one, celebrate the good things. Okay, Pastor Greg, I hear him and have heard him for years often. My wife and I don't sit and just talk poorly about the church. That person and that guy and these people and this. Because that's not healthy. Celebrate the good things. Highlight what God is doing in someone's life. Man, they came Sunday morning and Sunday night. Man, they brought someone with them, right? They, you know, brought their family, whatever that is. Celebrate those good things. Yeah, you haven't seen them in a couple weeks, but then they came with their aunts and uncles, and, you know, celebrate that. Some people, they celebrate, but not really celebrate, the negative things. Yeah, well, yeah, they brought them, but they haven't been there in 2 weeks. You know, if their family comes back and they're not here, right? Oh, did you see them? Did you see them lifting their hands after I had to deal with them? Well, what do you want? I don't get it. You want them to be repentant and worshiping or not, you know? So just these different ways you can make that bad on yourself, right? Harmful. So celebrate the good things, highlight the good things, and note the negative things. I have a mental file, but that file is exactly that. It's a file in a drawer in my mind. When I need that file, I can pull it out. When I need that file, I can revisit it, but I don't need that file. I don't need that file at the forefront of my mind with that person. I don't need that file at the forefront of my mind with that couple, with that, you know, established saint, whatever it is. Because how you view people, it matters. Pastor Greg has said, be aware of the worst, but expect the best. Yeah, I'm aware there's problems. I'm aware there's things I need to address eventually. There are some things, I'm not super excited over. I'm not really impressed with. But there's going to be some timing in that. And I can note that I'm aware of the worst, but what am I expecting? I'm expecting the best out of people, from people. Why do you think that matters? Why is that important? To celebrate the good things, note the negative things. Be aware of the worst, but expect the best. Yeah, David?
Well, because if you're just thinking about the negative things, it's going to consume your mind.
There you go.
And then you can't even, when people are doing well, you can't even see them.
Exactly. Yeah, good. So it's going to consume your mind, he said. That's a very good way to put that. Because it makes your focus. And your focus matters. What you focus on begins to create a narrative in your head. So you're focusing on people as a whole. They're all bad. They're all evil. They're not serious. That's how you view everybody as a whole. Right? When you're focused that way with people individually, all you see is their shortcomings, their failures, their setbacks. Right? All these different areas. And that's not going to help you. I've talked to on the phone. I hear frustrated men. They're frustrated with their sheep. Frustrated shepherds. I've talked to angry shepherds. I've talked to depressed shepherds. Their focus is all on the negatives, etc. I've talked to anxious shepherds. They're full of anxiety and worry, and they live or die by the attendance. Right? There's some pastors, revival. We had 75 in service Sunday night. Oh, we need God, man. We had 55 in service. So, okay, which is it? But you live and die. And then Wednesday comes, 80. We had 80. Well, it was more than Sunday. But then Sunday morning comes again, and 60. Right? And so you live or die on that. And then you have to fill in the why. And it's because of this, and it's because of them, and it's because they're not serious. And your focus. So, keep a balance. Celebrate the good, note the negative. Then lastly is you have to then develop this, right? Develop this awareness that we're talking about. And how do you do that? Number one, ask God for a love for people and a passion for souls. That's going to give you the eyes that you need. That's going to give you the heart that you need for this. Ask God for a love for people and a passion for souls. Secondly, is ask God to give you a revelation that you're going to settle your security. Settle your security. In other words, the best way to handle and manage all of this is I trust God and I believe in people. I trust that God holds the churches in his right hand, according to Revelation. I trust, according to Revelation, that he's in the midst of our church. Every service, every concert, every thing that we're doing, revival, our comfort, God is in the midst of that. So I trust God, and I believe in people. I believe people want to live for God. I believe people want to be used by God. I believe people want to be right with God. I believe in them. I remember Pastor Greg years ago saying, I've met very few evil people in my ministry. And I can say, very few evil people. Guys that are imbalanced, they think everyone's evil, but they're not genuinely evil. They just take things personally and they're frustrated and they're all these other things going on, rejection and insecurity. But I believe people want to do right. Then thirdly, you're going to have to discipline yourself. It really is a dedication, right? I remember settling this dedication, this discipline. For me personally, as a new disciple coming into Serious Men, I remember a family had visited, and Pastor Greg would often come, and when he was at the concert, he'd ask, hey, who was that family at the concert? Or come to the breakfast table. Hey, Sunday morning or Sunday night, Wednesday, whatever it was. Who was that couple? Who was that guy? Who was that family? So I remember one time he did that. Came to the table and said, who was that family? And he asked the concert director, who was that family that came out? Oh, I didn't get a chance to meet them. And so I'm thinking we're just going to move along. But then he asked all of us, who was that family? So-and-so didn't get to him, so we get to them. And we're all kind of silent, looking around at each other, you know. And I remember him saying, all these disciples, nobody knows. Nobody met them. Nobody introduced themselves. Right? That's not acceptable. And I remember he had already been talking about that, you know, not just chopping it up with your friends or being focused on your inner circle. He'd already spoken to that. So it was just one of those things. I said, you know what? I'm gonna develop this. I'm gonna be aware of people. I'm gonna be aware, and I understand we're in ministries. We have our families, our kids. We're taking care of other responsibilities, sure. But you think that's gonna change when you go out? Think all of a sudden you're not gonna have to be responsible for your kids or your ministry or getting the service ready? It's a capacity. God can expand you, and He can give you that ability. So ask God for love for people. Ask God, help me settle security. I can trust you and believe in people. And thirdly, the practicals. I'm going to make a decision. All right, let's open it up for some questions or you might have on that. Yep, Tony?
What do you do in a case when a convert is linking up with a person who isn't the best influence?
Yeah, when you're
being controlling.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's a good question. Without being controlling, is you absorb them. So often that's happening because that, you know, unhealthy contact is absorbing them. They're absorbing their time. They're absorbing their fellowship. They're absorbing, you know. So you have to counter that by just absorbing them. And what happens is the more they're around you, and the more they're around this other person, they begin to see, these are two different people. I want what Tony has. I need what Tony has, right? I can't play church, because oftentimes converts don't want to play church. Religious people want to play church, but converts don't. And so they'll begin to see, there's supernatural power. Whenever I'm around Tony, I want to live for God. Remember, I'm around Tony. I want to do something for God. I want to be involved, right? And they begin to see the difference. And so that's just a way you can do that. Absorb them. Pull on people to help you. Hey, can you help me if you see so-and-so? Just connect with them and, you know, whatever it is, you might be involved in something or whatever. But get people to help you. Absorb them. Ask them, I need your help. Right? You help me reach out to this couple, this family. They need some good contacts. So, yep. Begin to absorb them the opposite way. Good. Good. Yeah, because you're exactly right. You know, without being controlling, because you don't hang out with them. Why? Because I said so. That's not going to work. Right? Or don't hang out with them. Why? Because they're, you know, carnal or they got problems. Now you're just sounding like a gossip. Right? You're slandering people. That's not helpful. So just absorb them. Be their friend. Reinforce those connections. Yeah. John?
You're making me think, because last night there was a visitor in Ben. I said, Johnny, is that a visitor? And I was like, I don't know. And so I went and walked in front of him, and then I kind of circled around and said, seen him. But what I could have done, you know, and at the time I was like, why did I do that? I should just introduce myself, say, hey,
sure.
My name's Johnny. Hey, are you new here? Oh yeah, I'm just visiting. Can I get you water? Can I, you know what I mean? I could have took it just to interact.
Yep.
But instead I kind of was like, oh, I'm trying to be slick, but I'm like, that's not me.
Yeah.
That's not me, you know what I mean? So and then you know, I ended up praying with him.
Yeah.
And it was a visitor.
Yep.
But it really made me think, and then now you're making me think like that.
Yeah, but that's a good lesson, right? That's the point. You're applying the baskets, as Pastor Greg preached. That's a reference point. I can circle around and hawk around, you know. It's not enough to just be aware of who's a visitor. Make a connection. Introduce yourself. And yeah, and that's, again, their credit to Ben. That's what I'm talking about. Are you watching? Are you diligent? In the New King James, it says, be diligent to know the state of your flocks. That's a diligence right there. And attend to it. I liked IL's version, that second part, his version. I like how it said that on the attention aspect of it. Yep, good. Any other questions? Yeah, Tony?
When's the best time to look for visitors?
Usually at the start, you know, as people are coming in, right? So a great way to get involved, and you can talk with Pastor Hart, is with guest services. You wanna really give yourself an opportunity at knowing who's a guest and introducing yourself. Talk with Pastor Hart about being involved in guest services. You can be the blue bag distributor, right? But really, make contact with people. And that's a great role. That's a great thing that we have. We should have people at that welcome desk every 180. We should have people there that are making contact, introducing, and people with a smile, people with some people skills, not, what are you doing here? Yeah. So that's, you know, intense people, intense personalities. No, welcoming. So very important. You have that. Good. Yeah, Jake?
When you recognize someone is harmful to converts, when would you approach them and tell them, I don't want you talking to converts?
It just depends. You know, the Bible tells us to mark those who cause division, or Jesus says, if you cause any of my little ones to stumble. So it just depends when they really start hurting people or when they're damaging to people. Yeah, then you set boundaries. So I've put boundaries on carnal people. I've put boundaries on convert killers, you know. I've put boundaries on oddbots. Just like, no, you know. And they might ask, well, why? Just because I'm asking you to not. So, right? But you're weird. you say odd things. You do weird things, you know. But you push people off. And that's not healthy either, because then people think they don't know everyone. So does everybody act like this? Does everybody talk like this? And the answer is no. So it just depends. But when they're harming people or causing people to not want to come, that's when you step in and set boundaries. And that would be the first step. Yeah.
So Pastor, what has been your practice when you're working with converts, and like the balance of calling them like every day versus calling them like every other day? Invite them to your house.
Yeah, it's all dependent on the relationship. So there are people that you're going to connect with better than others. That's just life. That's normal. You won't be able to be, you know, close with everyone the same way, because everyone's different, and how much relationship they want varies. So it just depends on how much you build that relationship. There's some people you could reach out to every day just with a, hey, good morning, bro. I was praying for you this morning. Have a good one. Have a blessed day. Whatever. You know, you're just letting them know you're thinking of them, and some will appreciate that. Others, you do that every day, they're going to be like, dude, this guy's weird. I don't know. Like, he texts me every morning. So you get a feel, and that's part of the awareness. You're aware of how much relationship they want, how much relationship they're comfortable with, how much they respond or don't, right? And then you'll get an awareness. Sometimes I've had people, you know, where I just felt stirred, and I'd send them, hey, this verse came to mind when I was praying for you. I hope it helps, you know. And it's like, you know, God is faithful. Lamentations 3, his mercies are new each morning. You know, just encouraging things, you know. Not... Judas hung himself, go and do likewise. Thought of you this morning, you know. So you want to encourage them, and they may not respond every time, but you'll hear later, man, that was exactly what I needed. So now you've mentally known. You filed. They didn't respond. I felt like I was bugging them, but now they're expressing how much they appreciate it. So it's all just dependent on them keeping that awareness, and that'll give you an idea of how much to pursue or how much to pull back. Yeah. Good. Good. Yeah.
Can you expand? Were you always, in your personality personally, were you always naturally an encourager, or was that something you said, I'm not where I need to be and I need to develop that better? And then what were the steps you took to really get that next dimension in that level, right? Or to be an encourager?
Yeah, I think that there was a bit of a natural element there, only because I know how much I valued encouragement. I know how much it blessed me. And then I know how much my pastor, you know, I've heard him ask this question, where did you learn that? Did I ever talk to you like that? Did I ever treat you like that? So why are you treating people like that? Because it's not where they learned it. And so hearing some of those stories, I would say, I want the heart of my pastor. I want that spirit. I want to be an encourager. And so, yeah, definitely, I would say it was a little bit of a natural disposition. But then secondly, I've had to commit myself to it. And in the process of it, right, there's always course correcting, Len, right? I know when I'm getting frustrated. I'm aware when I am short-fused. I'm aware when I am only focusing on the negatives. And I know what that is, so I counter it with gratitude. That will change everything. It's hard to be grateful and ungrateful at the same time. It's impossible. You're going to be one or the other. And so by exercising gratitude, what a privilege it is to be in ministry. What a privilege it is to serve in any capacity. What a privilege to be part of people getting saved. What a privilege to be part of lives changed. All of those things. Gratitude changes your heart and changes your perspective. So I'm aware of it. Me and my wife are aware of it. Where one of us might be a little more, you know, frustrated, but we can speak to each other. No, we're not going to talk about that. No, okay. This is not healthy, and we can stop that. And it's a discipline, so you do develop it over time. But the things that I talked about, definitely praying for that love for people, that passion for souls, that was something I prayed. Absolutely. My security. The more I've gotten to know God, the more I've learned about myself. And there was just so much I didn't know. You know, that quote I used from the Complete series, I didn't know what I didn't know about God. And that was totally me. I just didn't know. But the more I've gotten to know him, the more I see he is trustworthy. The more I've learned how in control he is with so many things. Times where I feel like this is not working out. They do not want to live for God. And then it's like, but God was working behind the scenes the entire time. I just couldn't see it. And I learned to trust that, right? And so, yeah, you by your focus, it will change, right, your words. From the heart comes these words. So when I encourage, it's from my heart. It's who I am, but because of those things. Yep. Good. Yeah, Micah.
What would be a good way to get connected with the new converts in the church? Or maybe a better question is, who would I be able to talk to of maybe people that I would make a good connection with?
Absolutely, yeah. You could talk to always our concert director. Brian is going to be the most connected with our new believers, those that are coming. And absolutely, you know. But then there's the awareness factor, right? Last night, as Johnny pointed out, you know, he hawked around and came back with the report, you know, visitor, sir, you know, but then Ben prayed with him. So I'm noting as I'm watching, I was like, oh, that's a visitor. I see Ben go. he goes and prays with him, just a gentle encouragement. Just curious, Ben, what did you ask him?
Well, I was watching him, and he kept moving his hands like he wanted to raise his hand.
Yeah.
I just went up to him and asked him, I said, hey, brother, I noticed that you want to lift your hand, but you're not lifting it. Are you okay? Do you want to pray? And at first he said, no, I'll pray right here. I said, bro, it'd be awesome if we could go to the altar, because that's going to meet you.
Yeah.
It's going to take guts to go up there, but man, I'm telling you, it's going to help me. Sure enough,
yep.
Let's do it.
Yeah, because it was a quick interaction there. I'm watching it. So now, he goes up and prays with him. You should be noting who is going up and praying, and afterward, you go and connect. Hey, I noticed you went up and prayed tonight. What was your name, man? How did you hear about us? That's awesome. My name is Micah. Hey, man, I want to, you know, get to know you. Whatever that looks like, you spark it. From you, but you have to watch and make the connection later. You have to be aware, but you could, in the meantime, yes, connect with Brian, but then be aware, every altar call, who's responding, and do I know them? If I don't, encourage them. That was a great decision, man. That was incredible. Yep.
So just to add to that, because Pastor Hart and Brian both stopped, like, to talk to him, so Pastor Hart prayed for him. So we went out to eat afterwards. And he mentioned that several times, how that really,
yes,
encouraged him. That,
yeah.
He's like, well, the pastor's, you know, stopped and prayed for him. And that was cool.
So yes, absolutely. And again, because people need that, number one. But then number two, it does speak volumes. Man, it was very welcoming. The church was welcoming. I feel welcomed here. I feel loved here. Whatever that looks like. Yep, good. Yep.
What do you do in a case to where you go up to convert and you notice they have wandering eyes and they're making other people uncomfortable?
Yeah, again, that just depends. So, you know, sometimes, yeah, I've had people I've been sus over, but you know what? I've learned later, they were drunk every single time. That's why. I was sus about them, but they were drunk for months. And so that was the problem. So you got to... There is an element, Tony, where you have an awareness, right? You get five ladies come up and say, that guy gave me... You can feel it. It's like, you know what? You felt slimy. I felt slimy. And that's a problem. You know, if I feel slimy, you know. So there is an element of that. And you just don't encourage that person to continue to come. Right? It's like you see that odd-bod person connecting with them and... Hey, I'll pick you up and I'll bring you to everything. No, you will not pick them up and you will not bring them to everything. So there is place for that. But again, you got to sometimes just give yourself some time. I've been sus about people that I've been totally wrong about also. It's possible. So that's where you default to, you know, a pastor, or just make them aware, right? If there's something. But ultimately, we're going to get a mix of people, right? The parable of the fishing net. If you pull and you pull in all kinds of things, then you can sort later. You don't have to sort in the moment. And oftentimes, I had a whole thing one time. It's like, yeah, this person, they came and we couldn't tell if it was a guy or a girl, and what if they come and what if they want to use the women's restroom? I said, why are you so worked up? They probably won't even come to church, to be honest. And guess what? It was a one-time thing. They responded and prayed, never saw them again. So I don't have to worry about that. Again, it just depends. Yep, and you'll have to develop that over time. There's not a formula. So, yep, good.
Pastor, you spoke about praying to enlarge yourself. Is that something you pray pretty regularly?
But now I can tell when I need to be stretched also. Okay. I can tell. I don't have capacity for this. So I need an enlargement. I need to be expanded. So I will pray for that. God, expand my capacity. I have a lot of irons in the fire, and I can't manage them. So I need you to help me so that I can manage those, right? And and definitely there's seasons where I am stretched, and especially in the last 5 years, I've definitely I've prayed that often. Yes. I need capacity.
Yep.
Good. Very good. Good questions. Good input throughout the lesson, guys. Let's believe God for a good day.